So what do the following people have in common? George Bush Sr., Gerald Ford, John McCain, the public servants of 9/11, and Nancy Pelosi. They're all winners of the Kennedy Presidential Library Profile in Courage. This Wednesday is the anniversary of John Kennedy's birth, and each year about this time, the Kennedy Library offers a public official at the federal, state, or local level with the award when their actions demonstrate the qualities of politically courageous leadership as exemplified in John Kennedy's Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Profiles in Courage, which recounted the stories of 8 U.S. senators who risked their careers by embracing unpopular positions for the greater good. Well, in the first scripture lesson that Cheryl will read, we hear the story of someone also clearly worthy of an award. It is a young Jewish woman in the Persian Empire, Esther. Esther was known for her beauty and, quote, won the favor of everyone who saw her, and she was chosen to be the queen of Persia. But this Queen Esther was never destined to be simply an ornamental queen. She is one of the most prominent women in all of Scripture. Faced with the possibility of death, Esther chose to act despite fear when the people she loved were in danger. By speaking up to the king, by speaking from the heart, by putting her own life on the line, Esther prevented the genocide of Jews in the kingdom. By her courage, grounded in a faith life of prayer and devotion, Esther showed how courage can save a nation and how an unlikely hero can change the course of history. By her courage, Esther teaches us that our voice, our convictions, and our faithfulness matters. Then in Psalm 15, the psalmist is saying that people who cultivate a deep and abiding personal faith in good times will discover that they do indeed have the courage they need when the bad times ultimately come. They shall remain strong and even courageous if they live and speak from their hearts. And then in our last scripture lesson, the Apostle Paul clearly answers the final Jeopardy question, what is courage?
From the book of Esther. When they told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silence at such time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your family's father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." Then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. From Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do not evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. And from 1 Corinthians, keep your eyes open, hold tight to your convictions, give it all you've got, be courageous, and love without stopping. May God bless our understanding of these readings.
Thanks be to God.
A number of years ago at Oxford University in England, students were sitting for their final exam for a philosophy course. The professor had told the students that there would be just one question on the exam. Normally, an 8-page essay was expected. As the professor handed out the examination booklets to the students learned that the question was just 3 words. What is courage? They opened their blue exam books and set out to write furiously. But then 5 minutes into the exam, one student closed his book, got up, handed the booklet to the professor, and walked out of the classroom. Well, the other students later learned that that student had received the British equivalent of an A+, a perfect score. His answer was also just 3 words. So the question is, what is courage? His answer was, this is courage. So will this sermon just be 3 words to answer the question, what is courage? No, afraid not, sorry. For his career, Bob Bowden, again pictured here in the upper left-hand corner, was a East Hartford math teacher and administrator. But as many of you know, Bob was also a public servant, serving 9 years on Glastonbury's Board of Finance and 6 years on Town Council. Then Bob spent nearly a decade representing Glastonbury in the State House. During his time serving the town, Bob developed a reputation for voting his conscience, a reputation which he, of course, continued at the state level. And in the state assembly, Bob Bowden voted his conscience and almost faced the consequences. He will perhaps be most remembered for his voting in approving the state income tax in 1991, an issue which the United Church of Christ and I worked on in 1991. And then in 1994, his vote rejecting the school choice bill, which would allow public payment for students to attend private schools. It was following his income tax vote that Bob faced a challenge from within his own Republican Party, with the challenger actually winning the party's nomination, but then Bob eventually winning the primary. Bob said he didn't pull out because his reputation was at stake. I ran to prove that I represent the entire community. If people wanted to throw me out, they could have. He then went on to say, if you do your job right and do it with conscience, you don't have to worry about what anyone else will think. The Apostle Paul said, keep your eyes open, hold tight to your convictions, give it all you've got, be courageous, and love without stopping. Another member of this beloved community who gave it all he had, held tight to his convictions, and was truly courageous was Nelson Brown. For my first 9 years here at First Church, Nelson, like Bob, was a regular attender week after week after week of morning worship, sitting right behind Forbes and John and Becky Gleason and Rosemary. Nelson was a tall, imposing man, always dressed in a suit. And each Sunday, as he left the meeting house by the narthex to go out the front door, having been raised on the Connecticut shore, he would say to me, as if I were the superior duty officer on board ship, "Request permission to go ashore, sir." He was another great one. You see, Nelson Brown was a one-time speaker of the Connecticut House of Representatives in the late 1950s. He died in 2011 at the age of 89. Nelson was a genial and popular figure at the state capitol, and so it is hard to imagine that he was at the center of a political maelstrom in 1957, which was his only term as Speaker of the House. The issue was a bill brought by the Catholic Church allowing municipalities to pay for school buses for private school children to get to school. That controversy back in the 50s exposed the political and geographical fault lines of the time. The Democratic Party was predominantly urban and Catholic. The GOP was largely Protestant, suburban, and rural. Well, Nelson favored the measure, but a majority of his Republican caucus did not. And after a heated debate, they ended up voting against the bill and therefore against their own speaker. Well, that controversy hastened the end of his legislative career, but he was remembered at his funeral at his childhood church in Noank as truly a profile in courage. And it is ironic that decades later, Nelson Brown, repudiated by his own caucus, would become the go-to man, the go-to vote on neutral vote on redistricting. You see, in Connecticut, legislative districts are redrawn every 10 years by a bipartisan committee, four Democrats, four Republicans. If they are unable to agree on the redistricting, the eight appoint a ninth member. Twice, Nelson Brown was that chosen member. Nelson Brown was trusted. Nelson Brown was a man of conviction. Nelson Brown was a man with a big and courageous heart. Sadly, this past month, two young men had to show their big hearts. They had to show their courage and their love as they, like Queen Esther, put their lives on the line. But they tragically lost their lives while saving the lives of countless others. I'm, of course, talking about the two young men who took action to prevent two more horrific mass shootings in our nation. The first was on May 1st, when 21-year-old Riley Howell, pictured in the cap and gown on the bulletin, used his cunning, his strength, and yes, his bravery to tackle and body slam a gunman who began shooting in the University of North Carolina at Charlotte Lecture Hall. Howell took the fight to the assailant, took the assailant off his feet, said the police chief. If it wasn't for what Howell did, the chief said the assailant may have not been disarmed. Unfortunately, the chief said, Riley gave his life in the process, but his sacrifice saved countless lives. Known by his friends as someone who loved to hike and camp and loved the outdoors, Howell's family issued a statement after his death calling him a big, muscular guy with a huge heart. He was the kind of person who you knew would take care of you the moment you met him, and he always did. He radiated love and always will. And then it was less than a week later, on May 7th, inside a high school in Denver, Colorado, that Kendrick Castillo, age 18, lunged at a fellow student who had pulled out a gun in class, giving his classmates time to take cover. Kendrick was the only student killed in that attack. As one student told NBC News, Kendrick lunged at the gunman, who then shot Kendrick, but that gave all of us enough time to get underneath our desks, to get ourselves safe, and to run across the room to escape. Mass shootings in our nation have become somewhat the norm, and yet the tragedies also have a common thread of heroism. People whose bravery and decisive action help stop the attacks and probably save lives, sometimes at the expense of their own. So what made these ordinary citizens, in some cases kids, risk their own lives for others? Psychologists point to a variety of characteristics, including patterns of taking risks, helping others, to help explain how these people showed such bravery. Frank Farley is a professor of psychology at Temple University who has studied heroism, and he said, to put one's life on the line or to take risks where you can lose your life for others is an astounding and profound human behavior. Farley said, there are lifelong heroes, such as Gandhi, Martin Luther King, who commit their lives to a higher calling. Then there are the 9/11 heroes, those first responders who respond to emergencies each and every day. But then he said there are situational heroes, like Castillo and Howell, who emerge unexpectedly from a crowd during moments of crisis. It's the most difficult to understand, he said. And he has found that situational heroes have strong traits of generosity, empathy, and a desire to help others. He also said, for many of these people, it is their religion or their faith growing up that made an impact on them. He said, you act because it's the right thing to do. You act because it's the right thing to do. So what is courage? Well, this morning we have heard the stories of Bob and Nelson and Esther and Kendrick and Riley. And there are those other profiles in courage like John McCain and Gerald Ford, 9/11 responders. Now these inspiring stories are all well and good, but what does courage have to do with our day-to-day lives? As the alarm goes off in the morning, we have that morning cup of coffee or tea, head off to the gym or school or work, go to our computers at our home office, maybe off to do some errands. Our day-to-day lives seem pretty far removed from these situational moments, which often require life-sacrificing courage. But I ask you, is that really true? Yes, of course, and thankfully, very few of us will ever face those tough moments requiring bravery and courage. But day in and day out, as people of faith, we do come face to face with ethical questions, with tough moral questions, with day-to-day situations that demand of us some conviction, some heart, and yes, even, I would say, some courage. And the words that we've heard today are pretty darn good words to guide our lives day in and day out. What is courage? You act because it's the right thing to do. From the psalmist, you speak the truth from your heart. From Nelson, be someone who can be trusted. Be a person who remains true to their convictions.
have big hearts. From Bob Bowden, if you do your job right and do it with conscience, you don't have to worry about anyone else will think. And finally, from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, keep your eyes open, hold tight to your convictions, give it all you've got, be courageous, and love without ever stopping. Now that, my friends, that is what courage is all about.